Tuesday, the 6th of November, Rabbi David Stern, Mechirat HaBechorah.
The pasuk in this week's parasha describes for us how Esau came back from hunting, extremely tired and hungry, and requested that Yaakov give him some of the tavshil, some of the soup that he was cooking. And whereupon Yaakov said, "Vayomer Yaakov, Micho Chayom es Becheros Choli. Sell me Chayom," we'll talk about that in a minute, "es Becheros Choli," and the pasuk goes on to describe how he then went and said, "Yishovoli Chayom, Vayishovolo Vayimcho es Becheros." Yaakov, Esau sold his first right of Becheros to Yaakov. Now we assume, as before Shah Terah do throughout the parasha discussing the Maisa Ovos, that the sale must be a sale that was valid in keeping with the laws of Reish and Mishpat. And there are a couple of questions that arise as to the validity of this sale. First of all, one has to actually understand what is the Bechorah that he was actually selling. What does that mean? The Ramban says that the Bechorah is some sort of a Sroro, Malo, some sort of a status that a Bechorah had, the firstborn had, that he was the firstborn and he had certain privileges, a certain status, and that status was what Esau sold to Yaakov. The problem with, halachically, with the sale of such an abstract concept of a status of Bechorah is that there's halacha shulchan aruch question mishpat, and the Rambam actually in Perichot Beis Malchus Mechira, that you cannot sell a dor she'ein bo mamash. You can't sell an abstract concept. You can sell a piece of land, you can sell something tangible, but what does it mean being a Bechor? If you're a Bechor, you have certain privileges, but how can you sell the being of a Bechor? It's an abstract sort of concept. It's a dor she'ein bo mamash. Now, alternatively, simply you could learn that he sold a Bechor has to Ishmael, and he has a right of getting a double portion in his father's estate, and that of course is a tangible portion in the estate. The father leaves £300 and two sons, instead of each one getting 150, the Bechor will take 200, like as if there was another child, and the Poshut will take 100. So perhaps he sold him the Pishman, the extra portion in his father's estate. And in fact, that is definitely part of what was included in the sale. Rashi says in Pashas Vayechi on the Poshut, "Vanim osafti lecho shchem achad al achecho, shalokachti miyad v'emoyri b'chad v'kashti." Rashi says that refers to the Pishman, which he took in Yitzchok's estate, and he's now transferring that to Menashe and Ephraim, and that is what he acquired in Yad HaMoyer from Esau B'chad B'chad. He bought that double right. The problem is that the Gemara says that if somebody says Mashe Irash Me Abba Mochu Loch, if somebody says that which I will inherit from my father I'm selling to you, the Gemara says in Bob Matir Daf Tezan, you can't sell that which you will inherit because it's a Dov Shalei Bola Olam, and the Karka might be physically here, but it's not yet yours, it hasn't yet come to your possession. You can't sell something before it comes to your possession that hasn't yet come to your possession. So the Mepharshim grapple with how could Yaakov sell his double portion in the estate when how could he sell his double portion in the estate? Well, of course, Yitzchak was still alive and never had yet himself acquired that. How could he sell it on to Yaakov? It's a Dov Shalei Bola Olam. Rashi, interestingly, seems to say that we're referring to the Avoida of Bechoros, right? He says, "Ein Rosh Hazeh Kedai Sheyikra LaKadosh Baruch Hu." So he was selling the right of serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Arguably, that has both problems, because that's also a right, something tangible. A right to serve is something Dov Hashem Emanuel. Equally, something which wasn't yet around, didn't exist. And later on, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and the Mishkan will be built, there would be, until it was taken away from the Bechorim, a right to serve. That Bechorah is both Loi Bol Olam and Ein Boi Mamash. So these are the problems which the Mepharshim grapple with. We see it goes back to the Rishonim already, this problem. So I'd like to begin by repeating to you quite a well-known Or HaChaim HaChadosh, who discusses both these problems and says a beautiful pshat in the Pesukim. It says, "Vayomer Yaakov Micho Chayom," like the day. So Rashi already questions what it means like the day. So Rashi, quoting the Targum, says "Kiyoyim Dilehen Kiyom Shuboro," like the day is clear. Kach Mecholi Mechira Brua, make it a clear, transparent sale. The Racham HaKadosh wants to suggest a different remez in these words, Micho Chayom. And he says, Venira, he begins with the problem of Dor Shalei Bol Olam. He says, "Kiliyos כי בחיר הזו שקרינו ממנו יש בו פרוטים שאינם במציאות אלא במייסורת. There are various components of this בחיר which are not במציאות, they're not around yet, like the פישניים, אלא במייסורת, והם דברים שלא יבואו לעולם. So how indeed could Esau sell a דבר שלא יבואו לעולם? כפי תורסינו הכל, שאינו למקן הדבר שלא יבואו לעולם. So he says, in order to address this problem, Yaakov says, Chayon. Because he quotes the Gemara in Bob Matir, that's the Zayin, it's in Chosh Mishpat, it's in the Rish Yudalev, that the Gemara says, if a fisherman or a hunter says, Mashiyale bim tudosi hayoy mochuloch, that which today I will trap, I want to now sell to you in advance, equally, you ordinarily cannot do that because it's not yet trapped, it's Gavashol Evelelam. However, if he's a poor hunter and he says, Mashiyale bim tudosi hayoy mochuloch, that which today I will trap, not, you know, the next Lamajoyim or the next year, but today's game which I will trap, I want to sell to you in advance. Says the Gemara, you may do that, you can do that, and it's valid. And the Gemara says, my time is shum kidei chayov. It's a special dispensation that Chazal said this poor hunter needs the food, and he needs to make a sale in order to have some money to buy his basic necessities, and therefore we allow him as a special dispensation, shum kidei chayov, to sell in advance that which today he's going to trap. Lav Dafka today, even if he says that which I'll trap next Tuesday, as long as you pick a day as opposed to a series of days, you can sell that in advance, Mishum Kedei Chayov.
What happens if you don't trap anything?
Obviously, then the sale will not have taken effect. If I trap something, it'll sell to you. If I don't trap anything, then there's nothing that will sell. Says the Aruch HaKadosh, Esav came from the field, and by his own admission, Hinei Onoich Yodach Lomus, he had had it. And he was on the verge, if he wasn't going to get this soup, he was on the verge of expiring. So Yaakov said, fine, it's not absolutely necessary for you, clearly, to have some money or to get this soup for your survival. And therefore he said, Michro Chayoim, sell to me, Chayoim, like the din of Masiyala bim Tzadosi Hayoim, it's an allusion in the prophet, Chayoim, like that well-known din in Bob Metzia of Masiyala bim Tzadosi Hayoim, that you can sell something in advance, Mishum Kedei Chayav, sell it to me in accordance, Kayom, with that din. And Esau said, fine. Indeed, it's Tak Mishum Kedei Chayav. I need to sell it to you now in order for my survival. And therefore, the sale is valid, and it's not a problem with Shalom Balayla. That's the terrors of the Erechaim vis a vis Dovah Shalom Balayla. What about the other component parts of the Bechor, which we said were aimed by Mamash? They're abstract a little bit. Status, rights. How can you sell those? Says the Rechan Kodesh, the Pasuk goes on to say, V'yomi Yaakov Yishovo Li. Again, it says that, Kayoim, swear to me. Why was it necessary to make the Shavua? So he says, because the Halacha is in Yerudea, it's in the Reish Ramatess, that a Shavua is Chal on a Dovah Shein by Mamash. You cannot sell an abstract concept. You cannot sell a Dovah Shein by Mamash, but you can swear to do even something abstract. And if you do swear that, you become the chayav v'shvua to do it. Now the truth is that in Pashtus, that's just a yerudei dekaloch v'inodol mokim, which means if you swear that you will do something abstract, you then are bound to do it. It doesn't actually l'chayra effect any sale in Hilchas Chesh and Mishra. But the Chacham Kodesh says a big chiddush. He seems to say that if something you can't transfer, but if you swear that you will transfer it, not only are you bound to do so, you could, that might have sufficed actually to say that by swearing that he will transfer these rights, he's bound to do so. But if I'm going to take this further, and he seems to understand that it actually becomes transferred as a result of this undertaking with a shvua to do so. So he says that was the requirement of a shvua to overcome the problem of Dovah Shein Ba'Mamash. By swearing that he would transfer this b'chor, the non tangible parts of the b'chor also became transferred, because a shvua can work to transfer a Dovah Shein Ba'Mamash. Goes on Merach HaKadosh, he says, you might ask me, why do I need my first explanation out of Michro Chayoim? Why can't I say that? Like, you can make a shvur to transfer Dovah Shein Ba'Mamash. Similarly, you can make a shvur to sell Dovah Shalom Bala Olam perhaps as well. So he says, no, because the problem Dovah Shalom Bala Olam is not that the sale can't take effect. The problem is there's a lack of smichus da'as. He says smichus da'as of the Lekeach. Lekeach isn't certain that the sale will occur because it's not yet here, you're talking about something in the future. So he says, if that's the case, swearing that you're going to do so, swearing that indeed I will be selling this to you, he says, won't make any difference. That's all the Rav Chaim Kodesh says. In parentheses, I think this is debatable, very debatable, I think you could actually argue punkt faket, that if the issue is a problem of smichus das, so normally when you make a sale on something which is not yet present, not yet around, there's no smichus das. But if you swear that this sale will go through, and you're bound by that shvuah to make sure that it does go through, then indeed that might reassure the lokeach, and that might create a smichus das. Whereas on the contrary, by dovah she'ein bei mamash, where it's more of an intrinsic problem, there's nothing to sell, there I would have thought that perhaps making a shvuah can't actually help, because at the end of the day there's still nothing to sell. But the Rav Kodesh has it the other way, that shvuah helps to overcome ein bei mamash, and it does not help to overcome lo b'lo elam. For lo b'lo elam we have to resort to the mikro chayoyim. That is the Rav Kodesh. Now interestingly he quotes a Rivosh. Rivosh was a Rishon, Yitzchok ben Sheshet. And he quotes the Rivosh in Simon Shin Chos Ches in Tshuva, who the Rivosh already asked this problem. That means the problem of Dovah Shaloi Bala Olam. How could Esav sell the Bechira when it's, let's say they're referring to the Pishnayim, double portion, how could that be sold when it wasn't something that Esav yet possessed? So he says that the Rivosh quotes Rabbi Yaakov Ben Arosh, who answers that in order to overcome that, Esav had to make a Shavuah. And a Shavuah can effects a sale even on a low bolo. I mean, that which the Rav Chaim Kodesh says Shavuah would not help for, he quotes the Rivosh as quoting Rabbi Yaakov Ben Rosh, that a Shavuah can overcome the problem of low bolo. And the Rivosh in Shuvah writes, I haven't seen this Rabbi Yaakov Ben Rosh, I don't believe it exists, I've heard it. Clearly he says a Shavuah wouldn't help, so Rav Chaim Kodesh uses it to support his own position. And he has a difference that we'll mention in a minute as to how he could have sold it all for Lebalola. But in fact, today we have this Parashat Torah on the Alatorah, which is the Balatorah of Yaakov Ben Arosh. And he actually said so clearly, he said, Adoni Ob Arosh Dal Medaktik Mikam, was Medaktik from this sale, that Misha Mechel Chaveh Adovash Eina Kinyan Chal Olov, if you sell to your friend something which the Kinyan does not have effect on, Kigayim Mashi Irash Me'abor, that which I will inherit from my father, etc. The Nishva Olov, and you swear, Shahamecha chal mikrecha shvuah, he says in very clear words. Loini boy shakofen oisel lekayim b'shul shvuah. Not only does the shvuah require you to actually fulfill your obligation under the terms of the sale and transfer the object later on. More than that, by swearing that you will sell it, afilu shem mecha chal olav, it already becomes now sold. Ki dechazin ahocha the korolei mecha b'shvul shvuah. So we do have it on authority that this is actually the teret of the Rosh himself on this kasha, that the shvuah serves. And like, in fact, I was arguing, as it were, with Rav Chaim Kodesh, that being that the problem is one of smichus das, the shvuah can serve to assuage the lokeach concern that the shvuah won't take place. And yes, because he's sworn, I can rest assured it will take place. And indeed, it does serve not only to bind the moichah to sell, but actually create a halachically valid sale as a result of the shvuah. So that is a teretz which the Rosh himself gives on this answer of Lo Bolo Olam. So we've now got two answers on Lo Bolo Olam. The Rav Chaim Kodesh's answer of Hayoim, like they did on Mashiyalad and Sosi Hayoim, and the Rosh is Teret that Alidei the Shvuah Itzchal. The Rivosh, as we said, was unhappy with this Teret to the Rosh, and he said, Shvuah can't help for that. So what does he answer? He says that here it was Kodem Adibur, was Kodem Matan Torah. So he says, you cannot tell a Dovah Shalom Bolo Olam that after Matan Torah. But before Matan Torah, you can sell a Dovah Shalom Bolo Olam. And again, I think there's an interesting Nakuda in this position. Because if you would say that you cannot sell a Dovah Shalom Bolo Olam because there's no Smichus Das, so then that's something which didn't change before or after Matan Torah. There was no Smichus Das and no Smichus Das before Matan Torah either. You see from here that when Chazal say, to Lashon of the Gemara, Lesom Chedate, there's no Smichus Das, what it means is there is a certain Smichus Das. You promise, you do a kinyan to sell me something, pay or debt or the fruit that will grow. This doesn't mean that. The Torah came along with Mechal, it's not sufficient. Al pi Torah, that's not sufficient, smichus das, of the lekeach, or perhaps of the mecha, to effect a transfer of objects. But there is a certain smichus das there, and as the Rivosh says, that before the Torah was given, that was indeed sufficient to effect transfer of objects. It's only after the Torah was given, it was Mechal, that it's not sufficient, smichus das. So that's the third teret, which again is a teret of one of the Rishonim, the Rivosh, how the sale could have worked vis-a-vis the problem of Domus Shalei Bolo Elam, because it was Kedem Adin. What I'd like to focus on the Ikka though is a teret which the Ktseis HaChoshen says. The Ktseis can be found in Simon Reish Ayin Chet, which is gotten Yud Gimel, I think. The Ktseis quotes over there a halacha that a Bechor, after a father has died and has left the Yerusha, and the Bechor decides he doesn't want to take his Pishnayim because there are creditors, and therefore then that he has to pay more, whatever he has to cheshbon is why he doesn't want to take his Pishnayim, and he says, I want to be mesalek myself from my double portion. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that he can do so because Matoma Kari Rachmona, it says Shabachar Yakir Losei Sloi Loshen Matoma Pishnayim. So it's a Matoma, a Matoma you don't have to take, the Torah offers you a Matoma, you are free to refuse the Matoma. So it says that La'acha Mois Ovev Abachar can say I do not want to receive my Chelek Abachar, and he can't be Chelek once he's even mesalek himself, it's no longer his. He yashens together with the other pshutim. The Ktseis there has a discussion about can the Bechor be mesalek himself from the Chelek HaBechor while his father is still alive. Shulchan Aruch talks about when after his father is dead, but can he do it while his father is still alive? So we have various riots. As far as Domus Shalei Bolo Olam is concerned, he says that wouldn't be a problem, although of course the father is still alive, but he says you can't sell a Domus Shalei Bolo Olam, but siluk to be misalik yourself, on the contrary, once it's yours, then you can't be misalik yourself. But to be misalik yourself on something that's going to be coming to you, you can be misalik yourself even before it's come to you. That's the very time when you can be misalik yourself before it comes to you. There's no problem with Oshalev Olam when it comes to Siluk. And he says that in the same way we find that Matona Kari Rachmona, you can be misalik yourself after the father dies, so you can do so the Chai Olam as well. Now Achorin will argue with this place, but that's the position of the place. So he says, a Bechor can the Chaye Oviv be Masalik himself from the Pishnaim and have effect in the Chaye Oviv. So the Ktseis, and that I believe is what occurred with Esav and Yaakov. He says, if you look at the word Esav used, Hine Anochi Hoylech Lomos, Velomozeli Bechor, he says, Tolosh Amar Asiluk, I don't need it, Velomozeli Bechor. So although Yitzchak was still alive, but it was working with Hilchas Siluk. And you can be Masalik yourself even B'chaya Ovid from Chelek HaBechor, and that's how indeed Esav was Masalik himself from B'chaya with a din of Siluk. Oh, so all Achronim say, that's right, all Achronim say, that's very nice. So Esav therefore would have therefore been Masalik himself from the B'chaya and would no longer be considered the B'chaya, so you'd have two equal sons. But that was Negat of the B'chaya. Now the other is Rashi, I thought that Rukhan Kaufman, the Chayim Rav has got Sefer Mishcha Shana, and he has a whole discussion on this topic, and he brings with his Bekiyas various Rashis, and where maybe it's mashma that indeed they did split it afterwards equally, but as we quoted the Rashi, it's clear that Yaakov did indeed take the Bishman, so it's clear not only was Esav no longer the Bechor, but indeed Yaakov stepped in his shoes and Yaakov did become the Bechor. So according to the first three answers that we said, the valid sale for reason A, B, or C, to find that now Yaakov becomes a Bechor. But according to the Ktseis, all Esav succeeded in doing was being Masalik himself from the Bechor. How does that help that Yaakov should now become the Bechor in its late? Yeah, that's a different answer, that the Shavua can transfer the Bechor. But the Ktseis is not going with that. He's just saying that you can be Masalik yourself from the Bechor without the Shavua, and that's how Esav succeeded in selling the Bechor. In terms of the Shua, it was because the Esav was a rogue and the Yaakov knew that if I don't make him swear, you know, he's likely to deny Shvain and Bayan that the whole thing ever took place, therefore he made him swear. Even the Chiddush that he would trust his Shua, but it doesn't necessarily mean it would get, to give it a halachic validity, rather to give it a certain greater strength. So that's the question which the Achronim have with the Ktseis. So I'd like to repeat to you an answer which the Sefer Masas HaMelech, it was written by the Shimon Moshe Diskin, when the Rabbi used to live in the Pharaoh, with a Shivan called Pharaoh. An answer that he suggests, based on a well-known Gaon, or at least they say that the Gaon said this, others say that there's no way the Gaon could have said this. But it's brought down in both Sforim, the Kol Elio and the Divrei Elio, it's brought down in the name of the Gaon. The well-known Gaon, the Pashas Kiseitse. I'll just go through the Sukkim, it says the Pashas Kiseitse, Kisieno Le'ishtei Noshim, The gentleman would have two wives. So achas ahuva v'achas snua. V'yolde loivonim ha'ahuva v'asnua v'hoi ha'bein ha'bchoy l'asniyo. So it says, v'hoi ha'bein ha'chi loizvonov lo'yucha levaker, you cannot make the firstborn as b'no ahuva p'nei b'en asnua b'choy, but rather it's ha'bchoy b'en asnua yakir lotes lo'y pishnayim v'chon ha'shimot eloi ki hu reishis oinoi lo'y mishmat ha'bchoy. Now the Gaon has got a couple of questions over here. First of all, it says v'yolde loivonim ha'ahuva v'asnua. So the implication is that the ahuva, the beloved wife, gave birth before the snua. Yet later on, the prophet says that no, the yochel levakes ben ahuva pnei ben asnua b'chor. That was the ben asnua who was born first. Second observation he says is why the Torah has to give us the reason. Ki hu reishis oinoi. Torah doesn't normally give reasons. The Torah gives laws. Why he has to give reasons ki hu reishis oinoi? And also, what's the havamina that he should be a levaker? And obviously, he was the firstborn child of Ben Asnur, so obviously he's the Bechor. Just because you like the other one better, there's not a reason why you can make him the Bechor. It makes no sense to have him in even. So, in Divrei Eliyahu, he actually says this little story, Master Shehoyah Kachoyah. The Gaon wants to suggest that the prophet is referring to the following scenario. He wants to suggest that it's referring to a gentleman who was married to a lady, and unfortunately, over time, this lady became a Snur, and there was a breakdown in their relation. And he divorced this lady. A couple of months later, Mazel Tov, he found himself a Ahuva, and he got married once again to another lady who was the Ahuva. Before having divorced, however, his first wife, she had conceived. So she was, before he divorced her, already pregnant with their child. He then went and married a second lady a couple of months later, and she also immediately became pregnant. And the way things played out was that the Ahuva, the second wife, gave birth after 7 months. Whereas the first wife, who had become pregnant first, the Snua, gave birth at full term after 9 months. And her child was born after the second wife's child was born, right? So he says that Tuahuva of Snua, the reason why the Torah put Tuahuva before Snua is because that, the older Levonim Ahuva Asnua is actually because the Ahuva, the second wife's child, was actually born before the first wife's child. It's just that the first wife's child, the Snua's child, was conceived first. So this gentleman comes along and wants to make his second wife's child, the Ben Ahuva, the Bechor, because he was born first. He was actually born first. And the Torah comes, says the Gaon, with a Merdeka Chiddush, Lo Yuchal Levaker as Ben Ahuva Pnei Ben Asnur, he cannot make the second child who was born first. I call him the second child, I mean the second wife's child who was born first. He cannot make him the Bechor al Pnei Ben Asnur over the first wife's child. Why not? Ki hu reishis oinoi, because he was conceived first. So he was conceived first. Lo mishmat ha-Bechor, he's the Bechor. You hear? The one who was conceived first is the Bechor, not the one who was born first. And apparently they say in the Divrei Eliyahu that they're gone and apportioned at the time this story occurred to the Bechor, to the one who had been conceived first, the first wife's child, not the second wife's child. I don't know if that's correct, because halacha we don't find this chiddush. That's what the Gaon is reputed to say in Pasuk Sefer. No, but yeah, we're not talking about, we're talking about Bechor l'Nachlo, which depends on the father can only have one Bechor l'Nachlo. So the question is it the one who he conceived first, or is the one who was born first? And the Gaon is Mechadish, the one who the father conceived first.
So you have to say that the same wife married before 3 months,
you know,
the last one
married after 3 months. Yeah, but he married the woman. He can marry, the way I think, but he can make sure I didn't marry immediately after. He can even marry two wives consecutively, but I mean, simultaneously. Okay, so the Magia on the Kol Elio over there asks from our center, because you're all familiar with the Rashi that so Rashi says that Yaakov was trying to stop Esau getting out. Why? Because he was Moitza Mitzipo Rishayna. Yaakov knew that he had been conceived first. That Rashi did a muscle to Shepheres, but you put in two pebbles into Shepheres and then you take them out again the same way, so the second one comes out first. So Esau was about to exit first, whereas Yaakov knew that in fact I was the one who was made the difference. I'm the one who was created first. So it didn't work. Esau went out first and he became the Bechor. So much so that Yaakov had to go and buy the Bechor off of Esav. So it says clearly in this parasha, based on that medrash, that it's irrelevant that Yaakov was conceived first. The fact that Esav was born first made him the halachically valid b'chor, and Yaakov had the first b'chor of him. The Lashon Rashi, if you see the Lashon Rashi, says so, that since who potah harechem, that's the Lashon Rashi, therefore he was the b'chor. So that's the b'chor, not like the gong. So they give answers on the one. So this statement, Master Zamelech wants to suggest the following. So if he wants to suggest that lo'olam, we won't take the gong, what they say over the Shem gong, literally. Avada, normally it's the child who's born first who is the b'chor, irrespective of who was conceived first. But a little bit we can take from the gong, that a child who is conceived first has a right to b'chor over, let's say, other brothers who are born later on. The child who is conceived first has a certain sibah, he calls it, a certain reason, a certain right to b'chor. But the Torah says that if for some reason his mother's pregnancy takes longer and subsequently there's another lady of a gentleman who has a baby first, the one who's born first, he in actual fact becomes the b'chor. But that's not to say, says the Master HaMelech, based on this gong, that the one who's conceived first has no claim to b'chorah. He does have a claim to b'chorah, but the one who's born first has his in kedima. He takes precedence. It's like most of them have a z'chus to b'chorah. The one who's born first has a greater z'chus to b'chorah. But the one who's conceived first also has a certain entitlement to b'chorah. For example, if the one who was born first would die, then you wouldn't say, fine, there's no b'chorah left in this family. No. We would now go back to the one who was conceived. If we were to know, we cannot know normally such things, but you'd go to the one who was conceived because he does have a right to b'chorah. It's just overtaken by the one who's born first, his right to b'chorah. If he disappears off the scene, then it goes automatically to the next one who was conceived first over the other brother. So if you, that's not like the Gaon says, because the Gaon says lo mishmata b'chorah, he actually becomes a b'chorah. If you say that no, he doesn't become the actual b'chorah, so then indeed that would answer the problem that when Esav was born, Yaakov knew that the game was up, as it were, because Esav was now the regat first and he was going to become an actual b'chor. So he set about trying to acquire it. There's a problem, how could he acquire it? Comes along with faith and he says, no, you can be masalik yourself, even b'chaya of it, from b'chor. So Esav was masalik himself. Long was early, b'chor was masalik himself. So we had the question, fine, so he was masalik himself, but how did Yaakov become the b'chor? Says the Master Melech, Yaakov was anyway nesan isipa rishayna. So he had a claim to b'chayah. Had Esav not come out first, he would have been the b'chayah. Now Esav did come out first, so we need to remove Esav. So this is the like Esav says, I'm no longer the b'chayah. If I'm no longer b'chayah, then automatically Yaakov even becomes the b'chayah and has a claim to the Krishna.